text of message today is the gospel from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, especially verses 9 and 10 as follows. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" Here ends our text. You might recall a couple of months ago as we went through Holy Week, on Good Friday, when Jesus died on the cross, a man named Joseph of Arimathea asked Pontius Pilate if he could take the body of Jesus down and bury it. And after giving him permission, Joseph went to do that task, and we are told in that gospel account that Nicodemus went with him and helped him as well. Now, in our text for today, earlier in Jesus' ministry, we see the first account of Jesus' encounter with this same Nicodemus, a man with many questions about Jesus, many questions about God, wondering, seeking to understand what Jesus was teaching, and we can gather from the fact that on Good Friday he helped Joseph with a burial that he did finally understand the things that Jesus sought to explain to him in our gospel reading for today on this Trinity Sunday, teaching about the things of God, about what we call the Trinity, those three persons of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our text for today, Jesus meets with Nicodemus in the evening. For fear of the other Jews, Nicodemus did not want to be seen alone with Jesus asking these questions because of the scrutiny by some of the others on the Jewish religious council. But he was intrigued. He needed answers for his own faith about who is this Jesus, as one who was struggling to understand and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. He had questions, and Jesus addresses those in his own way in our text for today. As they speak about God the Father, Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Nicodemus understands that God has made these things possible, that he has witnessed in the life and ministry of Jesus, that Jesus has come from him, that God is indeed with Jesus, with that message. We might even go back to Jesus' birth. Remember, one who was called Emmanuel, God with us. Here, Nicodemus realizes that God is with Jesus, guiding him, directing him, leading him to carry out his work and his ministry to these people of God who have been given the promise of a Savior. That faith of Nicodemus is implied by Jesus' conversation with him, the fact that they're having this talk about God and the things of God would give us an inkling that Nicodemus was indeed searching to understand Jesus and to believe in him as Lord and Savior. And indeed, Nicodemus demonstrates faith in God the Father as maker and ruler when he acknowledges that God must be with Jesus to make these things happen, that he's witnessed, that he's heard, that he has seen. And it's also what we confess in that first article of the Creed. Faith in God the Father, one who creates, provides, and cares for us day in and day out. In the time of Jesus and Nicodemus, the oneness of God was emphasized by the Jews, that God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, that God is one. The great Shema, as it's called, of the Old Testament, that there is one God. And this was partially due to the fact that among the pagan religions, not the least of which were the religions of the Greeks and the Romans, was the mythology of multiple gods. Many gods, each doing their own different things, all different. And so within Judaism, the stress was on the oneness of God, that there is indeed one God. And yet even then, there was an understanding of the three persons of the Godhead, not as well defined as in the New Testament, but an understanding that there was God the Father at creation, that there was the Word there present at creation, and that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That indeed all three are God. But the stress was on the oneness of God, that there is one God in whom they believed and whom they confessed. Nicodemus in our text believes in a merciful God, a God who cares for his people, who sends prophets to give his people words of warning to lead them down the right path. In our text, he calls Jesus a teacher come from God. He saw in Jesus one who was at the very least a teacher, a prophet, one warning God's people about their need to repent and believe, one guiding God's people in the ways of God's plan for their salvation. At the very least, he saw Jesus as one of those prophets as they had seen of old, like the prophets of their forefathers. And yet, he also had an understanding of God's plan in warning the people. It meant that those prophets came and spoke a message that was not always popular with everyone, and indeed, what was the track record of the people of Israel when it came to prophets? When they didn't like what the prophet had to say, they killed the prophet. They killed the messenger time and time again. Those prophets in the Old Testament, whose books we study from, were put to death by their own people for speaking the truth of God's word, even when it was inconvenient, uncomfortable, and not what they wanted to hear. The people end up killing the prophets. Nicodemus, no doubt, already knew from previous meetings with the religious leaders that there were those who sought the life of Jesus, that there were those who wanted to kill this prophet as well, who wanted to put an end to his life, his ministry, his message to the people of Israel because of the problems that it was causing to that religious council. We also confess the same faith, confessing together what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We might recall the words from the Creed: God the Father is the first person of the Godhead, who from eternity has begotten his Son, has created all things, preserves and watches over them. That's the work of God the Father, who's done all this for us and for our salvation. So Jesus speaks with Nicodemus about this work of God the Father, his plan, the work he carries out. Nicodemus acknowledges God the Father and that he has sent Jesus as a great teacher and even more, a prophet. And even more than that, as Jesus will reveal to him, God's own Son, sent for the salvation of the world. That conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus continues as they speak about God the Son. And they speak about Jesus himself, even though this time Nicodemus may not have had a full understanding that the man he's talking to is indeed that fulfillment. Nicodemus had certainly believed Jesus was that teacher and a prophet, but Jesus leads him even further. He's leading him down the road to understand that Jesus is truly the Son of God, come to earth to fulfill God's plan for our salvation, to save the world from sin. And so in our text, Jesus speaks of who he is. Jesus says something that seems rather cryptic to Nicodemus at the time. Jesus says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Puzzling words to Nicodemus, words that he no doubt would ponder over the months and years ahead until he would come to understand them better when Jesus fulfilled his work on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. This one who came down from heaven also ascends to heaven. The one whom we have celebrated throughout the Easter season, and now even these Sundays after the Pentecost on this Trinity Sunday, reflecting upon Jesus as that one who fulfilled all righteousness for us, for our salvation, for our future as God's children in his kingdom. In our text, Jesus speaks about his office. He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus prophesying, speaking of what would happen to him, that he would be lifted up on a pole, on a cross. And just as those Israelites would look upon that bronze serpent on a pole and be saved from death, so those who look upon Jesus on the cross and believe would be saved from death. No doubt when that event occurred of Good Friday, Nicodemus would have hearkened back to these words of Jesus in this message and started to connect those dots of who Jesus is, what he was saying, what he was prophesying, what he was now fulfilling through his death on that cross for him and for all and for their salvation. And so in our text, Jesus is speaking about himself. God, the second person of the Trinity, is God the Son. That person of the Godhead whom we reflect upon is one who redeems us, buys us back from sin, that we might have salvation. Or as we confess in the Creed, God the Son is the second person of the Godhead, begotten of the Father from eternity, has assumed human nature and become our Redeemer and Mediator. So Jesus and Nicodemus have spoken about God the Father and God the Son, but they also address the belief in God the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity. Jesus says to Nicodemus earlier in the text, because these are not done in order that we say the names, but he starts by speaking about the Spirit when he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." God's Holy Spirit brings to us the blessings of that redemption that we have received through Jesus Christ to each of us as God's children. He brings us that promise of redemption, that promise of salvation through water and God's Word. Bring us into the faith through those waters of holy baptism, keeping us in that faith as he guides and directs us each and every day to live a life that is sanctified, made holy to God, through faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son. Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about this Holy Spirit when he says those words, "Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God," telling him of the importance of God's Spirit in our faith, in our trust of God and his word of promise. That Holy Spirit applies to us as God's children that promise of what Christ has done for us. That we are each individually God's children in faith through that work that he's done through his waters of baptism, calling us into faith and keeping us in this faith through trials and troubles, through temptations, through the struggles of this life, day in and day out. When Jesus speaks those words to Nicodemus about being born again, his initial question is, well, how can this be? Can a man once again enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? He doesn't understand yet the relationship of water and God's Word and the Spirit of working a new life in faith, of the old sinful nature being drowned in those waters of baptism and a new person coming forth alive in that faith. To him, it's a mystery. And yet, it's something that he is called to believe, as we are called to believe, how God works through that mystery of water in his word, how God's Spirit can work faith in us and wash away our sins in that mystery. Just because we don't understand something doesn't mean it isn't real or that it doesn't work. We can look at all sorts of things around us in nature that we just accept out of hand without anything to show them to us. We know there's wind. We can't see it, but we can hear the results of it as the leaves on the trees rustle. We can see the results of it as things blow around on the ground, but we don't literally see the wind itself, and yet we accept that it's there. When you go to reheat something in your microwave, you know that it's heating the food, yet you can't see what it's doing. You can't see those electrons, those things moving around to make that food get warm. Unlike a heating element on a stove or a fire, you don't see what's making it get hot. You accept that when you push that button, the food will come out warmer than when it went in. We see the sun, and we know if we're out in it too long, we will get sunburned potentially. We don't see it burning us, but we know that it has that power to do that, even if we don't understand the why. Radiation cannot be seen, and yet it is very deadly. Many things like that in our world that we simply accept because we know that they are true. So Jesus calls upon Nicodemus to believe that God's Spirit can work in someone, that they can indeed be born again of water and the Spirit, and be God's children through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, as he talks to Nicodemus, makes it clear to him the necessity of this new birth, this second birth, if you might call it that. He makes it clear to him the importance of God's word and the promise that that Spirit works in that word to bring us life and salvation, that we need it. We cannot come to God on our own and on our own terms. That we don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to believe in Jesus now. But instead, God works through his word, through his waters of holy baptism, through his Spirit working faith in our hearts to call us to believe. As Christians, we understand, confess, and believe in the importance of holy baptism for not only bringing us into the faith, but for washing away our sins, offering us the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation, day in and day out. Even when we sin again, even when we fall short of God's plan, we know that we live under that promise of his forgiveness and protection through those waters of holy baptism. Even if that occurred 80 or 90 years ago, we know that its promise is still valid today, that our sins are washed away, that we are forgiven, that we have a new life of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the means the Holy Spirit uses to offer us life and forgiveness. What we call one of the means of grace, the way God gives us his undeserved love through that sacrament. And of course, as well, we are reminded that we receive that same blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation through that other sacrament of Christ's very body and blood with the bread and wine for forgiveness of sins and to strengthen our faith as well. Jesus instructs and guides Nicodemus in understanding this God, the Holy Spirit, just as he did in his explanation of God the Father and the Son, that Nicodemus might believe it and understand, and through the years ahead would gain in his understanding and faith and trust in God's word promise about this Holy Spirit. And once again, from the Creed, we're reminded what we confess regarding the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Godhead who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and through the word and sacrament regenerates and sanctifies me. That's what God's Spirit does for us each and every day in faith. What a blessing as we celebrate the Holy Trinity to know that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all working together for ourselves, for our salvation, for our benefit. We may have the promise of life eternal through faith in Jesus Christ alone. May God guide us in this promise today and always, for Jesus' sake. Amen.